The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum of Accelerated Government Strategies, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum from Accelerated Government Strategies, providing advisory consulting for innovative startups to help grow government revenue. Every week, Aileen and Gigi welcome Washington, D.C.'s most ambitious and influential female executives who are taking risks to engineer success and shape the future. Women of Washington on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Now your hosts, Aileen Black and Gigi Shum.
I'm Aileen Black.
And I'm Gigi Shum.
Today in the studio, we have Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America. Jen was appointed May of 2014. She is responsible for leading the business in North America region, which serves more than 109,000 customers in 25 industries across the United States and Canada. Wow. Prior to promotion to her current role, Jen was a local Washingtonian and was the president of Regulated Industries Market Unit for SAP, which encompasses federal, state, and local government, as well as higher education, aerospace, defense, healthcare, and utilities. First off, Jennifer, thank you for joining us.
It's great to be back in D.C.
Jen, women are still very much the minority in leadership positions, both in public and private sector, and particularly in IT. You have been in the industry for over 20 years in very male-dominated organizations. In your current position, as Aileen mentioned, your responsibility goes beyond government markets and includes all of North America. What made you go into this industry?
You know, I was fortunate in that I started my career in consulting. And I had an opportunity to really work at a lot of different clients and learn different industries and see different problems being solved. And I love the variety of that. And so I felt that being in technology gave me an opportunity to be in an industry that was constantly changing, constantly evolving, and relevant to every industry and every business out there. And so for me, that's what made it exciting. And that's how I got into it.
Was there somebody early in your life who encouraged you to go into IT?
You know, there wasn't. I think I always enjoyed math. I think I always thought I would go into accounting or finance, which was my major. And I remember interviewing at James Madison University, where I went to school. And Anderson Consulting, now Accenture, was there recruiting. And I just really remember, I didn't know a whole lot about them, but after meeting the people and talking to the people, I felt like I could really relate to them, kind of the culture that I could see that they had, and the experiences that a lot of the different folks had gotten just being out of school after a couple years. And so it just opened my eyes to something new. And that's how I joined Anderson Consulting. So it was kind of through a little bit by accident, but it worked out really well.
Today in the studio, we have Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America. Jen, you as mentioned, you're the President of North America. Can you tell us a little bit about overall SAP, what SAP here in North America does, and a little bit about your role?
Sure. So I have responsibility at SAP. You know, we're a big global software company. North America is a pretty large region for us. And essentially, we help customers' businesses run better. You know, all customers today have employees, they have customers, they have suppliers, they have assets. The key is, how do you put all of that together and really have that digital core that allows you to run your business smoothly within the four walls of your organization, but also with your customers, your suppliers, and others out in the marketplace in this new digital world? So we're excited because we really touch all aspects of a company's business, and we've continued to grow over the last, 44 years that we've been in business. So North America has been a great market for us, and It's the epicenter of innovation, you know, across the globe. We see so much happening here. The competition is at its fiercest. The change is constant. And there's a lot of disruption happening, which makes it exciting. But it also requires us to constantly be staying ahead. And keeping up those growth rates with big numbers is always a challenge, but it's always a lot of fun, too.
This administration is really encouraging innovation and private partner partnerships with the private industry. What are some of the projects that you've done with the federal government?
So in the federal government, we've done quite a bit in both defense and civilian. I guess one of the customers that I would point to is, in addition to, we're really proud of the work that we do with the U.S. Army, as well as the Defense Logistics Agency. When you think about what we're doing, you know, from factory to foxhole, you know, whether it's logistics or financial management. It's pretty, it's a big honor for us to be able to work in the core businesses of the Defense Department. In addition, in the civilian market, many of our customers run our software. USDA is one. They run our software to support the school lunch program, our supply chain software, and also run their financial management processes on SAP as well. And as the government is looking to provide shared services and synergies, we become a nice platform that USDA can leverage to provide those services to other agencies as well.
I've read a lot about your diversity programs there mm-hmm. at SAP. Matter of fact, it says powered by inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the workforce today and when you contrast, you know, maybe where we were 10 years ago, I'm a big believer that the way that you need to engage the workforce, the work is really changing. You know, the workforce is changing, which means the work itself is changing. And so when you look at maybe how a best-run business was running maybe 5-10 years ago, I think that you've seen that change quite a bit now. And it means that you need to get the best out of every employee. At SAP, we see 5 generations of workers in our workforce right now. And how you inspire and motivate and retain and continue to recruit has to evolve and change, and it's different depending on who you're talking to. So I'm a big believer that you have to have a real strong culture of engagement, of authenticity, of empathy, and you have to have a diverse group of people. I mean, that's when you get the best out of everybody, is when you complement, you know, everybody's strengths and weaknesses, all those different experiences. It's not just about gender, right? It's about diversity of experiences, point of view, everything else. And I think when you bring all that together, that's when you see magic happen. So we really promote that, you know, whether it's about difference of idea, opinion, background. It's just good for business. It's not about, you know, just meeting statistics. It's good for business. And, you know, there was an article a couple weeks ago in the New York Times that, you know, quoted, you know, some of the studies around looking at businesses who have, you know, higher number of women on boards, you know, more profitable. I mean, the data is there. The facts speak for themselves.
So speaking of diversity, Jen, SAP has a chief diversity officer.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about that. Has that, having that position and having it be a C-level position, has that helped diminish the obstacles at SAP? And then do you see that elsewhere in the industry?
Yeah, I think what it's done is it helps to create an awareness, and it helps to start the conversations, right? It helps to understand the differences around us and to value those differences and to value what that means to the business. And so for us, we, as I said before, you know, a culture of engagement is so important. So regardless of, you know, again, it's not just about gender. It could be, you know, as an example, we have a program called Autism at Work. And our goal is to have about 1% of our workforce be recruited into this program. And if you look at all the different things that companies do, and in particular for us in technology, we found that this program has allowed us to attract and have very successful employees with skills that are really relevant in certain parts of our business, and allowing to see these folks absolutely thrive. And so again, when you think about, you know, where people are best suited and where those skills can really be leveraged to their full extent in an organization, you really bring out not only the best of the individuals, but you bring out the best of the overall group. And so that's what we're excited about, is it's allowed us to just engage in conversations that we maybe never had, and allow people to, you know, really speak their mind, bring ideas forward. Because for us, I'm a big believer that it's about talent, not your title. It's really about performance, not politics. And so when you create that culture of inclusion and engagement, then really great talent rises up and comes to the top, and you're able to see, you know, a lot of talent that maybe you wouldn't normally see if you didn't engage in that kind of conversation.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I love that, the story about the autism program. That's amazing. You know, both Aileen and I share with you that we had our background and our career in IT, and we always joke that, you know, we never had to wait in line at a meeting or a conference at the ladies' room.
Yes.
You know, it was always a very short line. And things have changed a lot over the years. And, you know, but I think you are still, I'm trying to think of another woman that in your position mm-hmm. at a tech company, mm-hmm. and I can't think of any actually. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, you might be a population of one. Have you, if you look at sort of outside the walls of SAP and yep. the industry as a whole, are you noticing the industry changing with regard to more inclusion?
Yes. So I think that it's a lot of times a conversation about inclusion or women in leadership tends to focus on the C-suite. And that's not going to happen overnight. And the way that that changes is by starting with your emerging talent and focusing on engaging that talent, men and women, you know, at the start of their careers and giving them the opportunities that they need to progress and be successful, and working that through multiple layers within your organization. And when you do that and that becomes just part of the DNA of your, you know, of your culture, then that's going to naturally happen when you're going to have more women in senior management positions, where you're going to have more women in the C-suite. It's not just about, you know, a conversation about women. It's about a conversation with women and men. I always find it interesting. A lot of times I'll go to women's events and many times there's no men in the audience. And men want to be part of the conversation. Many of these men want to be part of the conversation. They want to understand how can they help. Many of them have daughters at home and they want their daughters to have the great opportunities that they see, you know, other successful women having in the workplace. So I think it's a conversation that needs to really engage everybody. And I am seeing more women, but, you know, if you look in the C-suite, you know, you look at Accenture. Julie Sweet is a North America group CEO over at Accenture. You see a lot of different women taking on more roles. I also see a focus on technology and women at the board level. And so there's a really big demand for those IT skills on the board, on different board seats. And we do have many really great successful women who hold CIO positions in some pretty important companies.
Today in the studio, we have Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America. Coming up, we'll hear about Jen's early years. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today, we have in the studio Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America.
So, Jen, let's shift gears a little bit here and talk about Jen the early years. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Fairfax, Virginia.
Okay.
And I was born in Georgetown Hospital and spent my whole life here.
So a native Washingtonian.
I know, you don't see many of those,
That's
do
pretty
you?
Unusual.
Yes.
Absolutely. And but now you've moved to Pennsylvania.
Yes.
For your current role, right?
Yes. Our SAP's America's headquarters are in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. So that's just right outside of Philadelphia, you know, just under 3 hours away.
And so tell us a little bit about your background. You know, what did your mom and dad do? Did they, mm-hmm. what did they encourage you to do? Do you have siblings?
Yep. So I have one sister. She's 3 years younger. And my mom stayed at home with us, which I'm very grateful for. And my father was an orthodontist in Springfield, Virginia, which is funny because I think he knew more of the kids in my high school maybe than I did. So I always remember growing up and I had an unusual last name. My last name, my maiden name was Bilodeau. And so it was always really hard to spell and pronounce. And so most people would remember, isn't your father an orthodontist? So it was a great upbringing. And I just, you know, I had a mother who taught me grace and being kind. And I had a father who really instilled a work ethic in me, you know. And I worked at his office every day and every day off that we had in the summer, starting from the time I was 13 years old. And I just always remember those, you know, those lessons of understanding that the things we had and the experiences we had were because of hard work. And hard work required, you know, studying hard at school and putting your time in. And those are certain things that regardless of how much, you know, things have changed, in whether it be technology or different industries, there's certain things that never go out of style. And hard work and pride in what you do, I think are two things that he really instilled in me.
You know, it's funny. I have this theory. You have just one sister. I have just one sister. Aileen comes from a family of all girls. And I always think, when I think back on my upbringing, I am happy that it worked out that way because I feel like there was no opportunity for my parents to have a double standard. The girls did certain chores, the boys did certain chores, or certain, you know, activities mm-hmm. were encouraged and things like that. Do you think that that factored at all into your career-mindedness and your ability to achieve out in the corporate world?
Yeah, I think I had my parents both just really, really supported me. They had high expectations, not unreasonable expectations, but, you know, always gave me the feeling that I could do whatever I set my sights on if I worked hard. You know, just everything from that to how do you treat people were really important values that were instilled in me early on.
Jen, you went to a local university, well, sort of local,
yes.
James Madison University.
Yes.
You studied finance and French.
I did.
So I got to tell you, or ask you, when you first started, did you have in mind the roadmap that brought you to such a big role that you have today?
No, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. And so I started off, and I guess somebody had told me political science would be a good place to start. And after my first semester, I realized that was not what I wanted to do. My brain worked better in numbers. I enjoyed numbers. And so that's where I gravitated toward the finance degree. And James Madison was a great university. The culture there was wonderful. The faculty was wonderful. And I'm very excited because I will be doing their commencement speech for the College of Business this spring. So it's going to be like a homecoming. So I'm really, really proud of that education and the opportunity to go back there.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. You know, when we speak to younger women, and in fact, younger people in general, they seem to think, especially millennials today, that they need to have their whole career planned out.
Right.
Including like a 5-year, 10-year goals. And no, that's very admirable. But Let's face it, I wanted to be a dentist and then I went into high tech. So I think things sometimes don't turn out like you planned. They actually turn out better. Do you think that's the case? And what advice would you give a younger person today?
You know, my advice would be, the great thing about life, whether it's your professional life or your personal life, is there is no crystal ball. And that's part of the fun about life. And so I just think if you do the right things, again, I know I keep saying working hard is important. Surround yourself with people you can learn from. Your path will take you where it's meant to be. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have aspirations and plans and goals for yourself. I think you should always, always think big, dream, and think about where you want to head. But I also think you should embrace every experience. I think sometimes, I see folks coming out of college and you have a perception of what you should be doing or what you need to be doing right now to get to that next step. And I remember coming out of college, one of the first things I did when I was at Anderson, because I Anderson Consulting, Accenture, keep calling it Anderson, you know, I thought I was going to be on these projects and doing really important work. And one of the first things I did is I worked for a very senior partner and he would sketch out the slides and I would draw them in PowerPoint. And I remember thinking to myself, what am I doing here? But, you know, I learned so much about it. First of all, I learned how to use Microsoft and all the different applications, which was important. And I got to understand how he thought, because he sketched everything, his ideas, everything else. And so I was actually able to be part of that process and learn from that and watch how he engaged and watch how that turned into, you know, proposals for customers. And I'm a big believer that you got to embrace every experience, because you will take something from every experience that will make you better and something that you'll be able to remember and help somebody else with when you're later more senior person in your career and you're asking somebody to do something for you.
Today in the studio, we have Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America. So Jen, talking about that first job at Accenture, then Anderson, what were the early years like? Did you have mentor or mentors that helped you along the way?
You know, what they did very, very well, Accenture did a really nice job, and they still do a nice job, of recruiting folks out of school and just really teaching them the basics. You know, everything from communication skills to, how do you engage with your peers, training, all of those different things that really build a nice foundation. So those skills I got were just things that I grew up there. You know, I learned about the business world there, and those were some of the great skills that I got. You know, at that point in my career, I learned a lot from, you know, not only the people that were more senior, you know, like the partners who maybe were 10, 15 years more senior than me. But at the time, I learned a lot from the people who were just 1, 2, 3 years ahead of me, because they had, you know, just been in my shoes. They could relate to where I was and they could, you know, help me with some of the experiences that they had more recently gone through. And so I found that to be equally helpful. And so we worked hard, we play hard together, and it was just a really great environment to learn in. And I'm a big believer that you can learn from so many people around you. And the role that I'm in today, of course, I learned from, you know, our CEO and board, but I learned so much from, you know, the people who work for me. I'm a big believer in reverse mentorships. You know, many times I'm learning more about what's happening and what's going on and getting new ideas and inspiration from the people who are just starting their careers. And I think that that's really important.
So when you talk about reverse mentorships, is there, do you seek out, is it kind of a formalized approach where you seek out some younger people to try to get their feedback and their ideas mm-hmm. on things?
Yeah, so I've done it both ways where, you know, sometimes it's more formal where you might run a program around a certain topic area, and maybe you're meeting with a set group of people, you know, every couple of weeks on something. There might be an outcome or a work product that you've asked them to help you with. But I find that the informal is just as good. You know, it's grabbing a group of maybe new talent, emerging talent, and getting together for lunch and picking one or two topics and just opening up the discussion. You know, absolute transparency. Nothing is off base to talk about. And I really find I learn more from them. You know, you really understand new ideas, new ways of thinking, and it allows me to understand how I can be more effective in my coaching and collaboration because I understand their context a little bit better. So I think it's something that we both learn from and gain content from and, you know, both leave feeling really inspired by.
You know, many women try to compartmentalize themselves, and mm-hmm. that ability to be authentic or that superhero kind mm-hmm. of, you know, image that they're creating makes it very, very difficult. And they fall victim to a situation like that. And I know when I was running a large IT organization, whenever I went to a young woman and started talking about maybe being promoted mm-hmm. and talking to them about their next career step, they always presented to me where they needed improvement.
Yes.
Whereas on the whole, when I talked to their male counterparts, I heard I'm ready and I was ready 10 years ago.
Right.
So have you run across that? And how do you help mentor, you know, so that both can come to the middle?
Yeah, so true. I've seen the same. In fact, I've done it myself. I'm embarrassed to admit now, looking back, I was a VP running our civilian business. And at the time, our president called me up for a skip level discussion. So I was really excited. And I went in there, and he's a big supporter of mine. And he said to me, so Jen, when do you think you're going to be ready for the next step, you know, for running all public sector? And I said, I think I'm really excited, but I think I need another year. And I didn't even realize until later when I reflected that I had done that. And that was a really big lesson to me and luckily he was a kind of person that didn't impact his view of me. But I think for a lot of different people who may have been sitting in that chair, they would have thought, wow, she's not ready. She's not bold enough. You know, she doesn't have confidence in herself. And it wasn't that. It just, I don't know what it was, but I think what I've learned is that you have to be confident, you have to be bold, and you have to advocate for yourself. And I think women sometimes don't do a good job advocating for themselves because they don't want to be perceived as being a squeaky wheel. But, you know, as you mentioned, and many others do that in the organization. So,
today in the studio, we have Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America. Coming up, we'll ask Jen about her leadership style. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we have in the studio Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America. You know, Jen, in Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, she talks about her career being a jungle gym, not a straight line. Mm-hmm. You stayed for many years in the same company, but still has had a very successful, rapidly rising career.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an easy thing to do. How did you find that jungle gym of success while staying at the same company for over 11 years?
Well, the great thing is I work at a company that has continued to change and transform itself. And so that in itself provided a lot of different opportunities, vantage points, and experiences, whether it be, you know, in certain areas of technology or having the ability to work in different industries outside of just public sector. And I think that really opened my eyes to new experiences. And frankly, when you think about public sector, a lot of people sometimes say, gosh, yeah, how do you move from public sector to, you know, more broader commercial business? And if you think to me, public sector is a representation of so many different industries. And so to me, the experiences that I gained in public sector actually gave me, I think, more experience that I could leverage, you know, in the private sector, because you were able to touch so many different industries. And I love that. And, you know, and the nice thing about working in federal was, you know, when I had smaller children, I didn't have to travel as much. And so for me, that worked out really, really well. So I love working at a company that gives that gave me that opportunity and gives people today the opportunity to do a lot of different things. And I think today, the general manager profile is really, really important. You know, it's not just having, you know, one skill or one area of expertise. I'm a very big believer that you want to be able to get those different experiences, even if it is maybe a lateral move into a different part of the organization to build a skill set in a new area where you haven't had experiences. That to me creates just a much more broad profile that allows you to have even more opportunity going forward.
One of the points you made earlier was great about, you know, you can't start at the C-suite to really create diversity. You have to really start really at the, you know, the up and coming
yes.
or the middle management layer. Many women leave the workforce at that level because they don't have flexibility or don't feel that they can ask for that flexibility. What do you do in your, you have a very diverse team.
Yes.
In fact, I think I read a statistics that said that you have the most diverse organization in all of SAP.
We do. We do.
It's pretty impressive. So what do you do to help promote that?
You know, I for me, it's about making sure that you're looking at all talent pools. It's interesting because when we will go to recruit for a certain senior position, as an example, so many times a network is really helping you, everybody's individual network, and bringing together ideas. But you really have to ask questions that go beyond, you know, kind of the first people that come to your mind. Is there anybody else? Do you have any women candidates? And what I find is a lot of times when you just ask those questions a couple times, all of a sudden people will say, oh my gosh, I forgot about this one person I know over here. She'd be great. Or, oh wow, this person is over here. He'd be wonderful. So it's really about asking those questions over and over, and then people start to think more broadly and more broadly about the different people who could fit that role. And that served us well because we have been able to create a really nice group of people that complements each other and that trusts each other and that works together. I'm just a big believer that trust is paramount in a team working together to get big results.
So, Jen, I really want to ask you about your leadership style. And I think just through this interview, we're starting to get a sense of it. But what do you think are really the most important elements that you think you need to have to be a leader in today's market?
I think that trust is important. I think that transparency in real time is important. Communication, you know, communicate anything that's worth being communicated is worth being over communicated. And I think when people feel that they're part of something, that they understand what's happening, and again, that radical honesty, they understand where they fit in and they understand a broader context. Something that I talk about a lot is this concept of context. When people understand how their work product, whether they're an individual contributor or whether they run a pretty nice sized business within a big company, when they understand how their work fits into getting a bigger result, they have such a bigger feeling of accountability. They understand the importance of what it is that they're doing. And when you can inspire that and bring that to light and that context to light to everybody, everybody understands the greater goal and they understand how they fit into it. And that to me creates just a great performance-based culture of people working together.
So do you think that you ever have to take a different tact or adopt a different style because you're a woman leader at your level? I know, you know, we've got have women in here often who will sometimes say that they needed to change their communication style or they needed to change their approach to something. Have you had to really just adapt in any way because you're a woman leader?
I've actually tried to go out of my way not to become the textbook of what I think a leader is supposed to be. I think that, again, the workforce is changing so much. And I think that the cookie cutter, you know, or textbook stereotype of what a leader is supposed to be is yesterday's news. And so for me, it's about creating my own style. And of course, just with any kind of leader, whether you're a man or a woman, you have to adapt somewhat to the different people who work for you because people are motivated in different ways. But I think if you have that empathy and understanding, you know, and care for people, they want to follow. And so for me, I really have tried to stay very true to that culture of empathy and authenticity. And it's worked well.
Today in the studio, we have Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America. Jen, again, we talked a little bit about your 11-year career of rapid growth at SAP. You have been promoted several times and suddenly put in a position of managing your peers. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that?
You know, I think that it's about engaging people, about making people feel valuable. It's about empowering people. You know, back to what I said about command and control, it just doesn't work anymore. And so for me, taking this role, the first thing I did was I pulled everybody together and I was very clear with them about my vision for the company, where we wanted to take it. And I also created an environment of amnesty where, you know, I want the truth. I always want the truth, whether it's good news or bad news. We always need to be honest with each other, and I wanted to be able to empower them, give them, you know, the ability to really put their fingerprints on something, to really create a culture that, you know, that they want to be part of. And so I really talked about this becoming our company, and where do we want to create, you know, where do we want to take our company and the employees that work on our teams? And so really it was about creating a much bigger movement across the entire leadership team. And when the employees really can see that and they see that this is about a leadership team that trusts each other, that respects each other, then they're happy. And they know that we've got their best interests at heart and that we're going to be transparent at all times and we're always going to give it to them straight. And that's really the culture that I've set with my leadership team.
You know, I truly believe, and it sounds like you're of the same mind, that people come to work every day and try to do their best.
Yes.
They don't come to work trying to be you know, to treat one person different than the
yes.
others. But let's face it, there is something called an unconscious bias out
yes.
there.
Yes.
Obviously, from your answer, you've observed that. How do you deal with that in helping, especially when you're starting to manage one of your male peers and
yes.
you're seeing this, you're observing it and you're going to have to coach them.
Yes.
So how do you do that?
So I'll give you a story. We were having a conversation around succession planning and talking about the different talented people who had the opportunity to move into some of the next senior roles. And I found it interesting because there was a male colleague who, you know, when we would talk about the men, we would talk about their strengths and kind of what they wanted to do. And we would have the same conversations about the women, just the great strengths that they had and the opportunity. But I noticed that sometimes there would be a reference made to, well, she's the main breadwinner, or, you know, a comment about, you know, her situation. Oh, her kids are grown now, so she has more flexibility. And I call it out. You know, it's like you said, Eileen, it's an unconscious bias. It's not meant to be, they don't mean it in a negative way. But that was a conversation that would have been had, you know, maybe a few years ago. And that's not for any of us to judge whether somebody can balance, you know, what's going on the home front, because men have many of the same struggles that women have and have responsibilities that women have. We never know what's going on behind, you know, behind the four walls of somebody's house, and we should never make those assumptions, whether it be a woman or a man.
Today in the studio, we have Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America. Coming up, we'll ask Jen how she balances it all. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
We may want to. Welcome back. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP North America.
So, Jen, I know you have a really big job that takes a lot of time, but what is it that you like to do when you're not working? Do you have any special interests or any hobbies that you like to partake in?
So having two boys who are 14 and almost 12 who are really into sports and playing baseball, that takes up some time. So I enjoy doing that and being with them as much as they'll let me hang out with them, which for anybody who has middle school boys, I understand what I mean by that. And when I'm not working or with my family and my husband, I am a big yoga fanatic. I love hot yoga, Bikram yoga, and I got into that here in Reston many years ago, and I also love vinyasa yoga. I just find that it's a place where I can go, get a great workout, clear my head. It's not hard on your joints, and it just really, it just centers me. And so I find that to be really helpful both physically and mentally. Something else that I experienced and tried was something called transcendental meditation. And I, this has just started, so I'll have to come back and share with you the experience. But I was at a training session recently, and somebody came to speak about what that was. And I had always kind of had a vision in my head. It was kind of a spiritual, religious type of thing. It's not. It's really just about finding kind of 20 minutes of quiet in the morning and the afternoon, and just having some, you know, space and quiet. And it's pretty easy to do. I thought my mind would race too much to be able to sit still, but I found that to be really helpful too, to just kind of give you that sense of energy and calm. And I've enjoyed that. And so I try to find anything that will give me more balance or a few extra hours of, you know, feeling better is absolutely worth it, because you have to feel good and be in good health to do these jobs.
You know, I had a mentor that told me once that it was important that he had time just to kind of stare out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the same thing you're saying about meditating, right? That you need that time to just clear your mind. And that is when you're able to sometimes get your best, most strategic ideas about, you know, things that need to be done with your organization.
Yeah, I think that sometimes we're taught that in these jobs, you have to maximize and be busy, you know, doing something or in a meeting or visiting a customer, you know, every second of your day, and that your calendar should be packed. One of the biggest things I've learned is you got to have white space on your calendar, because that's where you have to take time for yourself. You've got to learn. You've got to stay current on what's happening in the industry. You know, you have to take time to reflect and process everything that you're experiencing so that you can then lead your organization. And that was probably one of my biggest learnings early on.
You seem to have a very balanced life. How do you get to do all this?
Well, I think that you have to have a family that is very supportive, and you have to have a healthy family life in order to be able to be at your best in your work life. So I'm just a big believer that you have to take care of yourself first, and you have to take care of your family and make sure you have a really stable and happy environment before you're going to be able to thrive, you know, someplace else. And if you don't put that focus on what's most important, you know, that will suffer, and other parts of your life will suffer. And it's easier said than done, but you really have to focus on putting time on that. And the other thing I think I've learned through the years is many of us feel that, you know, when there's a lot of work to be done, that you have to be working late, or, you know, on the email all the time, and on the weekends, you have to be able to, if you're not responding to your email within a certain amount of time, then you're not working hard. You know, for me, I really, when I'm traveling, which is a lot, I get a lot done, and I work a lot more probably when I'm on the road, when I'm not with my family. But when I'm home, I really, really try to create those boundaries, because the one thing I've learned is nobody else is going to create them for you. Nobody is going to tell you, you should go home early tonight and have dinner with your family, or you should go work out. So you have to create those boundaries for yourself. And if that's leaving the office every night at 6 o'clock, no matter what, to exercise or to be at home with your family, then you should do that and be unapologetic about that. And that, to me, gives others in your organization permission to have that balance. So again, don't succumb to maybe what the textbook or, you know, prior years of work experience might tell you.
You know, I read a article, I think you answered a question about integrating technology and leveraging it so that you can have that flexibility, that you can go be there
Yes.
for your family when they need you, but
Yes.
at the same time being able to integrate it, you know, in the evening when you have the time.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I think, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, I think it's the great thing about technology. There's a lot of things that I think challenge all of us, because you can be on all the time. But I think what's great today is that if you need to run over and do a parent teacher conference, or there's an important game, you know, I see a lot of men and women able to do that now more flexibly. And it's awesome to see dads who are able to be more present, you know, and go to those types of events that maybe 10 years ago that wouldn't have happened. And for women to be able to do that as well, because you really can, I think, incorporate in a healthy way a good balance. Sometimes the balance might be a little bit more on the work side, depending on what you have going on. And other times you got to, you know, kind of swing the pendulum a little bit and put more focus back on the family. But you have to have balance.
And you sounds like you have a great partnership with your husband. Has there been any aha moment where you guys have faced a challenge and had to make some hard decisions?
you know, we were very, very fortunate. I said earlier that life doesn't give you a crystal ball. And I think if you had told us both that he would be the stay-at-home dad and I would be the one working when we got married, we both would have laughed and said, no, my mother stayed home. I'll probably stay home when I have kids. And, you know, he was the college athlete and type A. And, you know, life just puts really great experiences in front of you. And the road that we were fortunate enough to be able to travel is he's been home with our boys since our first was born. And it's been really, really great for me because he's been just an incredible supporter. And it's about partnership, you know, and he's been just wonderful. I never thought that there could be somebody who could be more proud of me than my father, but my husband, I think, has surpassed him in that. So I'm just really fortunate to have his support. And I like that my boys are able to grow up and see that there is no, you know, status quo or, you know, for what a family should look like or the role that, you know, a man or a woman or a mom and dad should play. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a great adventure. And, you know, I'd say one of the biggest things for me is my husband's always told me, don't feel guilty. You know, we've made these decisions. And I'm fortunate with the boys that they have their guy thing going on. And probably about 5-6 years ago, I just finally told myself, I have to stop feeling guilty because we've made these decisions. And, you know, guilt's a very heavy thing. And somebody's got to work. And I feel very blessed that one of us is able to stay home. And so when you really give up that guilt, everybody's happier. Your kids are happier. Your marriage is better. And you're better at work. You're better at home. So, you know, you have one life and you got to live it to your fullest.
That's great advice, Jennifer. I really enjoyed talking to you today. I want to hear how the meditation transcendental
meditation.
Thank you. I got to ask you, if you were to go back in mm-hmm. time and meet the younger Jennifer, mm-hmm. what advice would you give her?
You know, I think that time goes by so fast and we tend to think about life as big events. You know, promotions or holidays or, you know, things that happen to us, you know, big good things and maybe tough things. But for me, when I look back now, it's really the moments that matter. It's those experiences that maybe, you know, aren't necessarily a big milestone, but they just stay with you and they change who you are. And it's an experience that then you take with you and apply, you know, to your life going forward. And I just think those moments are really important. And those moments might be on a mundane Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock or with somebody that you never would have expected to learn something from. And so I would just say embrace the moments and don't always focus on, you know, the big event or what's coming, because some of the most important experiences you'll get are the ones that are right in front of you, and that might happen every day.
Today in the studio, we have Jennifer Morgan, President, SAP America. I'm Gigi Shum.
I'm Aileen Black.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum, founders of Accelerated Government Strategies. Learn more about AGS and the work they do to help accelerate your business plans for public sector at excelgovstrat.com. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Women of Washington, Wednesday afternoons at 1 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.